of like it's sort of like his tiger beat pose, just sort of a hi there.
I'm the sex kitten of the suburbs.
I'm bald all over, you know. Not me.
Hello.
It's why do I have that image in my head right at the beginning of the show? I got to scrub that out. It's 48 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of September in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the lushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rich Emerson Show. Welcome, my friends. Welcome. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's going to be the best show ever. You know why? Brand new legal pad right here in my hand. Brand new legal pad, not a brand new pen, because they quit making my pens. They no longer make the Pilot V5 Ultra Fine Sharpie. They quit making it. They've discontinued it. They've ceased production after 18 years. And I sometimes wonder, it's easy to think that you are the only one who has some kind of a pen fetish, which I do. Where was I at the other day? Was it with you guys? Where there was a guy who had the best pen?
I didn't go anywhere with you.
You sound like you're talking to the cops. I don't know nothing about nothing. I was at home. I was at the movies. Maybe it was one of the engineers. Those guys are freaks for pens. Well, whatever. Anyway, this pen right here. This pen, it's called a Precise V5, which is apparently what they said. They foisted this off on them as some sort of replacement for the Pilot V5 Ultra Fine Sharpie. It'll do for now. Anyway, but I got a brand new legal pad as well. And sometimes, well, here's the thing. We have this cornucopia of office supplies here. That's the one thing about you work for a large corporation. You need never want for office supplies again. But you're also at the whim and mercy of whoever purchased them. And then occasionally they'll just... Don't you ever go into like your office supply closet wherever you work, and sometimes all the legal pads are like pink for no reason? Like they just ordered a whole crate of puce-colored paper. Doesn't matter, but you're too cheap to go buy it yourself. Not today. Today, I have here the AmPad Evidence Yellow Number 5 legal pad.
That does sound exciting.
It is. That's how you can tell it's going to be a fantastic one. Because all of my thoughts are put down here on non-glare paper. They're easy to see because there's a high contrast between the paper and the ink. That right there, my friends, is stuff that Gripping Radio is made out of. It is 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com.
There's a new show on about serial killers.
I know. I just saw it. Now, have you watched? Did you watch the preview thing?
No, I could have. I'm going to do that tonight.
Now, you have to watch it on your computer?
Yeah, you do. Because I believe Showtime is part of CBS. That's why we got this.
It's so hard to tell. I got some email about this yesterday. Some program called...
Dexter.
Dexter.
A killer new series. Horrifying, intoxicating, seductive, and thrilling.
A killer new series.
Classic in the making, riveting and original. Right. TV Guide.
There was some tagline for that. There's a killer new series, but then there's some other...
Takes life seriously.
Oh, yeah. No, but there's a period. You can tell that some...
Takes life.
Some marketing serious. Group got paid like $1 billion to sit in a room and come up with that tagline. Takes life. Period. Seriously. Period. So it is. I've had this idea for a long time. This is another idea that they have gone into my head tonight. They've stolen out of my brain while I slumber. They're not really doing it the way I have said for the longest time that there ought to be a program in which a serial killer was the central protagonist. But he's sort of a serial killer you like. You know, you sort of root for him in a dark way. Not unlike one roots for Tony Soprano. That's the weird thing. You watch a lot of American television lately. Not only The Sopranos, but Vic Mackey and The Shield is this way, too. Sort of an anti-hero where you find yourself rooting against the government, the cops, the authorities, and the man and the law. And you find yourself rooting for a guy who routinely puts people's heads in vices and cuts off guys' junk. So
these are gruesomely comic adventures of a Miami forensic expert who enjoys killing killers.
The explicitly madcap adventures of... I wonder if it's a rip-tickling laugh-a-thon. I wonder if it's slap-happy.
But this Oz or the show's fondest will blood in narration will be a turn-off to many, like people my age.
Yeah.
But there is a level of creativity and, well, dexterity there that cannot be denied.
Dexterity. Because, see, the show's called Dexter.
Okay. In his first victim? Oh, if we only wish.
It's Whoopi Goldberg.
No.
That'll be for sweeps week. Yeah.
He's an important radio morning host now.
Oh, somebody, Todd the Corpse, said that he has audio of the Whoopi Goldberg show. Huh? Wake up with Whoopi. I don't have it today. Don't ask me to play because I don't have it today. But Monday, I think I'll have that.
I think we can wait the weekend to hear that.
Here's the thing about this show, about Dexter, though, is it's going to fail, because, and you know it's going to fail because it's on Showtime, and I don't mean that as a knock against CBS. I'm simply saying this sort of ties into something we were talking about yesterday and something that we'll probably bring up again later today when Scott Daly is here. But the thing about it, Showtime is there is no marquee program for Showtime. Wasn't Queer as Folk on Showtime?
Yep, that was the only one they had.
But it's
really
gone, though, isn't it?
And now it's on Logo. It's all cut up.
Yeah, so it's all it's in syndication now, and there's just nothing left. I think Showtime had, what was it, they had that Weeds show with Mary...
That was horrendous.
Mary Louise Parker.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a Desperate Housewives knockoff.
Boy,
and it had a terrible theme song,
didn't it? But it was like Desperate Housewives who grow pot. That was the one line. That was the high concept. Which is too bad because I love Mary Louise Parker. I really do. It's just she can really act, and she's smart, and she's just... Not really my type, typically, but just really just as hot as Hiroshima. I mean, you can't deny that. And the program is just terrible, apparently, though. Showtime just has... Right now, if you put a gun to my head, I couldn't conjure up the name of anything on Showtime.
Oh, it was big during the 90s. Remember, they had all the stand-up comics. And all the stand-up comedy shows from the comedy clubs. When everyone was a stand-up comic for 5 minutes.
I thought that was HBO.
No, that was Showtime.
Are you sure? Uh-huh. HBO had the Def Comedy Jam. That's what I'm thinking of.
Because I worked at All Comedy Radio, and they used to steal, well, not me, but people who worked there used to steal all the comedy bits and dump them onto cassettes and use on the air.
I'm glad that we're not associated with anybody who does that.
No.
Anyway, so the 80s were a bad / good time to be a fan of. Here's what the 80s were. The 80s were a good time to be a comic and a bad fan to be a time of comedy. Because if you were a comic, and you know, I mean, did you live in L.A. during this time period? Because it's like
I dabbled in it myself.
Did you? Did you do stand-up?
Everybody I knew did stand-up. We all did stand-up.
You know, Clyde has done stand-up. Yeah. I never have.
Oh, how could you go through the 90s without doing stand-up?
Because I was never...
I didn't have to be good.
I wouldn't be, I assure you.
There you go. You should have joined our group. And we were in an... We had an improv group that nobody ever went to. The theater would be empty. The only prop was this black cube on stage.
Sort of like the Groundlings without comedy. sort of the Flounderings.
Yeah, this is,
there you go. Somebody, you just take that name there.
We were like the Studio City.
Not Second City, but like a Ninth City.
Yeah, we were Studio City. Well, never mind. It was all right. Bad stuff.
You all, everybody out there, you can use that, by the way. I'm not going to be using those names. The Flounderings or, like, Ninth City. You go ahead and use
nobody wants to see the Groundlings either.
Kooky comedy people.
World's biggest secret.
Now, and
nobody goes to see improv.
Nobody goes to see improv because it's stupid. Because it's stupid and it's unamusing. That's why nobody does that. And here, I was never unemployed long enough, fortunately, during that period of time, to become a comedian. And even if I had been, it was in Salt Lake. And I was like, you can't be a stand-up comic in Salt Lake. And that's a
that'll be fun.
No, it's impossible. There's no market for that kind of a thing. There's certain kinds of jobs you just can't get in Salt Lake. You can't really be a stripper and make any money. You can't really be a stand-up comic and make any money. But during the 80s, the late 80s, doesn't matter. It's like you got off the bus from Indiana, and it's like they handed you 5 minutes at the comedy, you know, at the comedy store. And then, like, afterwards, like, Mitzi Shore would come up and, like, give you cocaine. And then, like, Bernie Brillstein would give you a pilot. And they had development. There you go, kid, you're on your way. And that was it. But if you were a comedy fan in the 80s, it was terrible because we were awash in bad comedy. I mean, lots and lots and lots of bad comedy. And every time you turned on television, there was the show being hosted by somebody. Rosie O'Donnell had a show. MTV had the half-hour comedy hour. There was the Def Comedy Jam. So, I don't even know what I'm talking about here. Oh, but so there's nothing...
We started talking about Showtime.
The point is, there's nothing good on Showtime that I can think of. I can't think of a marquee program on that network, which... Unless, like, this serial killer program, and it seems highly unlikely, becomes some monster hit, everything on Showtime will continue to be unseen. So, because they just don't have they are always the Avis to HBO's Hertz. That's really what it is. They got to find something that'll help them break out a little. All right, well, there you go. So anyway, the point is, though, because we work for CBS, they sent us this email where apparently we can watch the first episode of Dexter, what, online or something?
Yes.
All right.
I might do it.
Well, there you go. So we'll let you know about it on Monday. All right, 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Let me find the appropriate sounder here. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our stenographer.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
A good friend, Mailman Chris, joining us now. How are you, sir?
I'm about 80% today.
You sound better. So, no, yeah, you sound like you're within sight of being healthy again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Showtime has Dead Like Me.
Has what?
There's a show on Showtime called Dead Like Me.
Oh, with, is that with, what's her guts, Faith from Buffy the Vampire Slayer? How was her name?
I don't know, but it's also got Inigo Montoya.
Eliza Dushku. Eliza Dushku and Manti Patinkin?
Yeah.
Inigo Montoya. And that's so great that everybody in my, it doesn't matter whatever that guy does. If that guy could take over Mark Twain tonight and everybody would say, come on, say the thing about Prepare to Die, come on! I saw him on, and it's okay with him because he seems zen. Manti Patinkin, who was in The Princess Bride, as Inigo Montoya, he seems zen with the catchphrase. You know, like a lot of guys aren't. And I think it's because he was famous beforehand. He was a Broadway actor. And I think he went back to Broadway. And then he was. But when he was launching Chicago Hope, he was on Leno or Letterman or something. And he was trying to talk about Chicago Hope. And guys just kept calling up and saying, say it! From the audience. Just some guy wearing a backwards baseball cap in the third row yelling at him to scream out the thing about the six-fingered man. So he seems okay with it, though. I dig that guy. He can really act. And Eliza Dushku is hot and Mormon. So she's doubly hot because of that.
Yeah, I don't know if she's on there. I don't remember seeing her on there.
It doesn't matter. She's always playing in my head. Doesn't matter.
And there's also another show that you might like to watch on there called The L Word.
But The L Word is just a bunch of fake lesbians having tedious conversations, isn't it?
Hey, turn the volume down.
Okay. Moving forward, here's what we're going to... No, the thing with Eliza Dushku is, in my head, it's sort of like a picture-in-picture. There's always whatever's going on in my real life, and then there's always a small picture in the corner that's just Eliza Dushku running down a beach in a halter top slowly. That's all it is. Just like in an endless loop. Like, here's a true story. Chuck Berry used to have, maybe still does. He's alive. Boy, that's a guy that ought to die any day now. And I'm not saying that I hope he does. I'm saying he's led a long, hard life. He's a guy that I think about. I prepare his obituary mentally in my head all the time. The thing about Chuck Berry is he had a television in his house, and this was famous. It was actually two televisions sort of joined together that faced each other, one of which showed, you know, whatever he was watching on TV. The other one was just nude white women throwing pies at each other. So there you go. There's your Chuck Berry fact of the day. So in my head, though, one of those is just Eliza Dushku. Here's what we're going to talk about today. Bees will kill us all. Metal posts will kill us all. Severed heads will kill us all. And guys throwing baseballs will kill us all. Tim Riley, do we have watchers today?
Yes, we certainly do. And thank you for asking. We have the Corpse Watch. We have a Bush Watch. And we have a Geek Watch. Do we have any in Warren? And a Democracy on the March.
All right. Do you feel confident that we'll get to all those things?
No.
Fantastic. All right. Scott Daly will be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. I'm looking elsewhere. Blah, 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 blah. Yada, yada, yada. Oh, I should get to this worst obituary ever, which is from the Denver Post. I feel good that we'll get to that. Worst obituary ever. I mean, I guess it's only worst if you're the guy. If you're anybody else, it makes it... It's all relative. You'll feel a lot better about your life after hearing this. That's what we got today, my friend.
Real quick, Tim, what was those, the watches I got? Corp, Bush, Geek?
Democracy on the March.
Democracy. I did get them all. All right, so we've got killer bees, metal posts, severed heads, and guys throwing baseballs.
Yes.
Will kill us all.
Yes.
Corp Watch, Bush Watch, Geek Watch. On the March, Scott Daly, and the worst obit ever.
No, it's true. All of those things will be gotten through today.
Excellent. Hey, by the way, if you're into Jackass at all, if you like the show Jackass or the original movie,
mm-hmm.
I saw the second movie last night.
Now, let me ask you this about Jackass 2. Let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being tolerable, 10 being vile and stomach churning, how bad would you say the horse sequence is?
Oh, that was definitely a 15.
Okay. See?
Because I was just happened to be eating a little bit of free popcorn because I went on the Cannes movie night.
Free popcorn with extra butter?
And I just put a handful of stale popcorn in my mouth. And I literally just spit it back into the bag and said, that's it, I'm done with eating.
I don't understand, and again, I'm not complaining about this, but I really don't understand how certain movies get away with R ratings. You know what I mean?
That's That was, have you seen it?
I have not. Okay. I have not. I am that stereotypical guy going, I've heard all about that movie. I haven't seen it. But, I mean, Brad the car guy gave me a pretty blow-by-blow description of that.
And that one particular second in time.
Yes.
They actually have a black bar.
Really?
They put a black bar
over... Oh, thank God.
Over
at, the action, the thing.
Over yeah, over the, his face. and it says centered. And then it's gone. But you can tell what he did.
And you know what that is? That's a whole lot of guys in the audience going, I gotta get that DVD. I'm gonna pre-order that on Amazon right now.
Oh, but I'm a fan of the show. I've seen the movie. I own the DVDs of the movie of the TV show. But you know, I have never laughed so hard
The great thing about Jackass is just the certainty that someone will be killed at some point making that movie or that show. That's the great thing about it from an American point of view. Americans don't love anything more than they love... Americans, there's nothing you can do to get me to watch something better than to tell me that there's like a 1 in 5 chance a guy will snuff it at some point during the making of that. And that's why people love that show. I saw this outtake, not to get all bogged down with Jackass, but it is the number one movie in America. The kids love it.
I'm tempted to burn down the men's room.
let's go set fire to our scrotums. I saw an outtake for the first movie where they were using a beanbag gun on Johnny Knoxville, and it's an outtake where like the first, because he put on like a vest, and then they went to shoot him with a beanbag gun, and the first shot went really wide, completely missed him, thus indicating that the guy who was using the beanbag gun didn't really know how to target it. And at that point, there were literally, I think there was like a lawyer off camera who like stepped in and was like, that's it, we're ending this now. So if you want to see a fascinating interview, there's an interview, it's out there somewhere, I think it's on YouTube, an interview with the Los Angeles law firm that actually has to supervise the Jackass guys. I mean, that's a fun way to make your living. All right.
They topped the beanbag in this one with a embassy, like a SWAT team embassy for terrorists. It shoots little rubber balls.
All right. All right, thank you, sir.
Talk to you at 3.
All right, there you go. That's Mailman Chris. All right, there you go. Yeah. So there you go. All you have to know is a horse and a big black bar. Don't bring your popcorn. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Stillen. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm sadly kind of curious about that.
Were you going to see... Have you seen the first one?
I haven't. No.
Have you seen... Did you watch the show?
No.
See, and I watched the show sporadically.
I watched a little bit of it. Just watching a bunch of guys do idiotic things and laugh at themselves just got a little old for me.
That's the thing. I know that I'm different from a lot of guys. We've talked about this. I'm even different from Stephanie Miller in this way. In that Stephanie Miller, man, that's a woman who's never met a flatulence joke she didn't like. That woman has never met the sound of gas leaving the body that didn't leave her in stitches. And for me, it does a whole lot of nothing for me. It just leaves me cold comedically. And so Jackass is sort of split into... Jackass is split into two different categories, typically, in my experience. One is just a whole lot of unpleasant bodily emissions. Which does... It's like that guy... God, that guy in the first movie that... How shall I put this? Frank Zappa had that song called Don't Eat the Yellow Snow. And this was not so much snow as it was a snow cone.
Oh.
And then you had to witness the yellowing of the snow cone. And then the consuming of the yellow snow cone. And, I mean, at that moment, you're just sort of sitting there going, why? What is wrong with me? And at that moment, for that half a second, you start to understand how Bill O'Reilly happens. Do you know what I mean? How there can be a guy going, we live in a country saturated with filth. Because for that moment, you know it's true. And then you sort of resent with it. But the second category of Jackass is like guys almost being killed. Like, you know, hey, put on this bulletproof vest. Now I'm going to shoot him. I'm going to fire a machine gun right at you, you know, from 6 inches away. That's the kind of stuff that intrigues me, because, again, you know a guy's just going to get killed one of these days. So I know that shouldn't appeal to me, but, you know, what are you going to do? That's me. Anyway, are you cold?
It's always cold in here. See,
I don't want to drone on about the weather that is not... See, now we're not only just talking about the weather, we're actually talking about weather within like a 5-square-foot space. It's not even the weather where we are. It's literally just the weather within like this one tiny little room.
I'd rather have it a little cold than what it was all summer.
See, you're always saying it's cold. Tim, cold, hot, perfect.
Oh, if only we could bring Al Gore's polar bears on.
I'm just... Because...
Simcoe is cold, too.
It's cold where I am, but I'm used to it.
Dennis, you've built up a layer of protective blubber. Tim, so Dennis was here the other day. He and I were both sweating like pigs. And so maybe that just says something about Dennis and I, though. In any event, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Well, a follow-up to a story we had in the final moments of yesterday's program. Anna Nicole Smith marriage to Howard K. Stern is not legal.
Bam!
Except in the eyes of God.
Okay.
Brad wants Angelina pregnant again, right away, right now.
Lay down!
Congress moves to block the president's plan to build permanent military bases, which he said he would never do, and control the oil, which he also said he would never do, in Iraq.
Fantastic.
A Florida teen said he was inspired by the bum fights video to kill for fun.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at killing for fun. Although apparently CBS has made that the cornerstone of the new Showtime fall season on Dexter Takes Life. Seriously. The wacky adventures. Does it say wacky adventures?
The wacky misadventures.
Let's see. Hold on. Blah, blah, blah. The gruesomely comic adventures of a serial killer. So there you go, kids.
It's the Ozzy and Harriet of the new millennium.
I was going to say, that's part of our commitment to a new moral fiber in America. A new direction, one might say. I got the best, can I just tell you this? I got to be careful like phrases. I got the best new direction picture sent to me. I haven't posted it yet, but it's for a church. And it's like, discover an exciting new direction for your family. And it's like a guy, it's like a, you know, and it's like the whitest of white men, standing with his wife, and then he's got like a small child in front of him around which his hands are sort of circled suggestively. And then it's just, discover an exciting new direction with Jesus. So we'll post that one later. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Oh, and Sarah thinks she has an ulcer. All right.
A bleeding ulcer or a regular ulcer?
No, I was having these really bad stomach pains yesterday.
Aren't they
no,
all I'm bleeding? Okay. All ulcers are bleeding ulcers,
no,
aren't
and you
they?
Were
no,
saying
I don't
that,
think so.
I think you can get an ulcer without vomiting blood, Rick.
I'm not saying that that's how you get it. I'm saying, isn't that how you tell?
I wish we had a doctor on the show. Or a nurse.
I can... maybe we need one. Maybe we need an official doctor.
Maybe we should call Lara.
All of our ailments. I thought that was how you detected you had a bleeding ulcer, is that you were hurling blood.
Oh, I don't know.
I've never had one.
Me either. I don't
try not to let things bother me.
But you do a good job of that. Just let it roll off your back. That really is the hallmark trait of this program, is that we just sort of are zen with things and nothing irritates or annoys us.
Well, we do live Groundhog Day, Mr.
Anywho, Lisa Goddard's going to join us in a while. Hey, Sarah, do we have somebody talking about voting machines from CNN today?
We sure don't.
That sounds exciting.
Well, it is exciting because it's a thing I want to know. Here's the thing.
Only the East Coast is important. CNN doesn't care about it.
That's right, because if you are west of
the Mississippi... That's the way the world works. It's very New York-centric.
You are west of the Mississippi, you are no one, apparently.
You get the old black and white kinescope.
That's exactly... just give us...
But the hair is running through the film.
We should ask them to just give us old news. Maybe they can just give us reports from 8, 9, 10 years ago that they're not using anymore. You just got the most stricken look on your face.
Mailman Chris just wrote me what happened with the horse.
Why would you do that, Chris?
I know, it just popped up. You know, it was my work email.
It just popped up.
That little...
An exciting new direction in film.
That window just kind of, poof, it goes there and then it disappears.
Why would he tell you? Why, Helen? Why do you do these
things?
Yeah,
I'm not going to be watching that.
No, it's... See, but do you see what I mean about how... It's like the ear-cutting scene in Reservoir Dogs. You want to see the movie, but then somebody tells you about it, and so what do? You go in and you sit there for the first hour, and the first hour is torture because you're dreading. You know what it was like? And then we have to break, because Lisa Goddard's going to call us. But here's the thing. It was like the spider pit sequence in King Kong, which ended up not being as bad as I thought. It was like the Shelob sequence in, was it Two Towers? Return of the King. Two Towers, I think. I can never remember because they changed it from the book to the movie. Anyway, but with a huge spider in Lord of the Rings. And it's like, I knew it was coming. You know, I don't care for spiders. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I don't care for them. And that whole movie was me sitting there just going, come on, come on, come on! And show it! You know, just wait, wanting it to be over. That's how that horse sequence is. We should end this discussion now. And, okay, it's 503-733-2970. We begin everything around the corner. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM970. So let's take Rick. Emerson Radio. Oh my God. Okay, don't look. Don't look. Wait for it. I gotta post this. Seamus. Just sent this to us. Seamus, who lives in... Where the hell does he live? Colorado. A listener of ours who's who now listens online. I don't know how he does that. But he...
Seamus is rad.
Seamus rules. He's also the guy... He was the guy... He sort of spearheaded the Storm fans raising money to send her and Davey on vacation when she got back. They did like a surprise
thing.
And
he did a lot of stuff on their website, too, right?
He did a lot of stuff on the website. He bid like $5,000. He bought in that kids' giving thing. And then Seamus is also the one... Somebody asked me where they knew his name from. Seamus is also the one... And I think this might have happened when we were off the air. But there was... Like some cancer kid that had his Xbox stolen or whatever. Do you remember that story? There's something like that. Some like 10-year-old cancer kid and some low-life a-hole stole the kid's video game system, which just seems wrong. And so Seamus put together a thing and raised money to buy the kid a new video game system and a bunch of stuff. No, it's people sticking together. Did you read that story? And it has a happy ending. Did you read that story about that kid in L.A.? He's, again, another cancer kid. And someone stole his puppy. Who steals the a puppy named Chemo? Who steals the puppy that belongs to a cancer kid? And then at the end, the puppy was returned, and there were a lot of heartwarming photographs. But seriously, there's a special... I mean, that's like a front row. That's a front row non-air-conditioned rocket train to hell that you're on. Even I wouldn't do that, and I hate children. All right. Seamus sent us this link to the New Direction Christian Church. Now, that's funny right there, the fact that there's a New Direction Christian Church. I just clicked on it. I just checked out the photo. Look at this.
Oh.
It's genius, isn't that?
Not just a church, a movement.
Yeah, no, but it's this. The guy's doing the finger. What do you. We were just talking the other day, and we got to get Lisa Goddard, whenever the hell she calls, on. And then I got to talk to this guy who's going to talk about something in Iceland, and then I have this obituary to read. But we were just talking the other day about hand gestures that everybody knows that there's no name for. I'm going to name a couple right now. Hold on. I got to quit hitting the counter because it makes the microphone vibrate. Here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to name this one, first of all. The one I was doing where you're moving your hands around in a circle forward in a, you know, come on, gesture. Like when you're trying to get somebody to finish a story and somebody's being long-winded, not unlike the host of this very fine radio program. And someone might... See, how do I even describe it? You know the gesture, though. When somebody's telling a story and you're waggling your hand... Yeah.
With the fingers.
You're waggling your hand as though it's like the wheels of a combine, trying to get them to hurry up the story. What shall we call that? Let's name that right now. Sarah?
Hurry up.
There's like a two-minute delay, so I'm going to say this, and it's going to be like an hour before anybody weighs in a conversation. All right, so here's... Well, I'm just going
to... I have one for that guy, though.
I'm going to write them down. We'll name them as we go on, then. But I'm going to list the hand gestures we need to name, because these... I can't go another day like this. So it's tearing me apart. The hurry-up hand gesture. That one needs to be named. Hurry-up hand gesture. You know, the weird thing about this delay, though, is, like, it weirds my head, though, sometimes, because I will actually be in here, like, later on, and I'll hear a commercial, and then I'll walk back to my office. I mean, it's a long walk. My office is on the way to the other side of the building, and I walk back to my office, and it's just then actually hitting the air. All right, the hurry-up hand gesture, and then what is this guy in this...
That's totally a back at ya.
If you'd like to see this, by the way, it's N as in Namibia, 2 you know, the number 2, N2 newdirection.org. That's the address here. It is N2 newdirection.org. I don't have any. I don't know what that means. But they are the New Direction Christian Church Disciples of Christ. All right, yeah, so is that what you would call the back edge? Because that's like when he's doing the finger gun, like the one-handed finger gun.
Can't you do back at you?
Okay, we're going to call that's a great name. We're going to name that one right now. Finger gun. We're going to call that the back at you. Back at you. The goal is to come up with a name that if you use it, everybody automatically knows what you're talking about. Let's see. Kyle, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, that twirl the finger, that's wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Like you're winding up a story.
Wrap it up. So do you think if we said that to somebody who didn't know we were talking about, they'd know?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody just doesn't have to sound...
Come on. You're watching a TV show about a TV show, and the producer's over there trying to wrap it up or stretch it out or whatever.
All right. Here's another one that everybody knows. but there's no name for it. It's the finger across the throat, you know, where that means like a no. Or sometimes you don't do the finger across the throat, which I think is Sicilian for I'm going to kill you.
The whole palm down wave.
That, see, you're describing right now. Yes, I was just doing it, wasn't I, sir? Where it's like your palm is down, and it's like your wrist is on a swivel. And you're kind of going, and it's sort of like...
I'll kill you, chop your head off kind of deal.
It's sort of like an ixnay kind of a... That's what that is. No, stop. That's totally what that is. Why do I think about these things? What is wrong with me?
Too much time, Rick. You only have a four-hour show. You need to go longer.
I'm picking up on your sarcasm, sir. Oh, wait, hold on, though. But because you've decided to end this call by kicking me in the nads, you get to be the inaugural recipient of this. I've got a new phoner. I've got a new phone ender. Wait, hold on. Where did I put it? It's here's the new phone dump sound. And we'll use this right here on you. And this is right here on the. Oh, now it doesn't want to play. You know what that is? That was karma. That was instant karma. Well, never mind. Now we just have to say goodbye. Thank you, sir. Don't laugh at me, you bastard. Oh, you sons of bitches. All right, fine. You know, I'll just have to use the old one. No, that's wrong. Was that me?
Yeah.
My computer's gone mad. Mad, I say! Here's Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome now with the whole God Almighty. Hi, Lisa. How you doing today? Lisa Goddard.
It has me dragging. I'm calling in a little late.
That's okay. No, don't worry about it. You really didn't miss anything. All you missed was the show just sort of going to hell in a handbasket, doing big cartwheels of fire into a trash can.
You know what? No better time to do it.
Let me ask you this. If I were to ask you this question, would you have any response to it?
Oh, dear.
No. I'm just saying.
All right.
Would you generally hold... I'm just speaking... This is theoretically. This has no relevance to any radio station or the hosts of said radio show that we might actually... I'm just saying, would you hold that the West Coast of the United States... And we'll just use the traditional west of the Mississippi definition of that. Would you hold that the western parts of the United States are as important as many places on the East Coast?
I will answer that question, and clearly the answer is yes.
Okay, thank you so much. I only make that observation because often, I'm just saying, do you have any knowledge about voting machines and their reliability? My guess is going to be that you have sort of perhaps a layperson's knowledge, or perhaps slightly more because you work at CNN, but you have not been prepped in the story. You're not well versed in it. You haven't been prepared to talk about it because your name is not Dick Uliano. Dick Uliano is really... Dick Uliano apparently knows all that there is to know about the voting machine issue, something that I find fascinating, something
he's
that I'm sure...
He's a voting machine master. In fact, he has voting machine parties. It's kind
of weird. I believe my audience would be enraptured by such a discussion. If only I were ever able to get Dick Uliano to come on the radio program, and barring that, if only CNN held the Western United States to be important enough to actually have somebody talking about those stories once he's gone.
I hear you. I'm with you, my friend. I see where this is all led. I had the blindfold on. Now it has been taken off.
You were blind, and now ye see.
And now I see. You know what? This is what I say. I think you'd make a special request, and Dick would say yes.
I would say
a live shot with you guys.
Here's the thing. I don't wish to make his day any longer more difficult.
Great guy. And he would add to your cast of characters, that's for sure.
Well, we used to have... Here's the mystifying thing about Dick Uliano. And while we're on the subject, let me ask you this, as the young people say. Whatever happened to John Bisney?
I am the new John Bisney. I guess I could talk a little lower, but I am the new John Bisney. He went to, actually, the American Petroleum Institute.
What is the American... Is that... the American Petroleum Institute, and that's like when you hear about like the American Liberty Foundation, where it's almost certainly a front for some ill-advised right-wing propaganda machine.
It's for superheroes. No, it's the... It is actually, that is the organization for, I believe it's petroleum distributors. Now, that is something I'm definitely not an expert on, is that organization, which part of the pipeline they get it on. But that is your major, one of your major oil industry groups right there, and he is their spokesman now.
Is that like working for the Clean Coal Organization or something?
You know, you'd have to ask John Bisney. I think he'd probably come up with a good response to that. But I think he's happy.
All right. Well, it's not. I mean, we do. You know, we miss John Bisney. But I'll tell you what. I do feel that we have traded up, though. I will say.
Oh,
that.
I don't know about that.
No, we used to have Vic Juliano on. I think we. I'm pretty sure that we even had the Godfather theme set aside for him. I'm pretty sure that was his introductory music. And then. Somewhere in between, like, the last firing and then and the firing before that, he just sort of became unavailable to us after, like, tonight. All I'm saying is I don't wish to overburden on those narrow shoulders of his. I don't wish to pile more radio station demands. It just, you know, should the subject...
Come on, keep us on our toes. Don't wimp out. Don't wimp out on your listeners. Push it.
I'm just saying it does seem like, you know, it's not like you guys are a college radio station. You are, in fact, one of the largest and most prestigious news-gathering organizations in America. It doesn't really seem like it'd be too difficult for you guys to find, like, some intern, like, $9 an hour to man the phones and to talk to radio stations after 10 a.m. I realize none of these things are under your control and they are not your responsibility. I'm just saying...
I do have a little piece. I mean, I can talk about electronic voting machines.
Can you?
On.
All
I'm
right.
ready.
All right. Well, then we'll move on to that in a second. We should probably recap. So this whole week.
Funny to talk about, right?
This whole week has been this. Congress has been a mad dash to get all of this stuff finalized. And they're sort of like me with my Franklin planner when it's 4:55 on a Friday, where my obsessive compulsive anal retentive nature kicks in. And I start screaming at everybody in the radio station to get things done because I can't face another weekend with items in my daily planner not checked off.
Oh, gosh.
And so Congress is not really perhaps that driven to get things done, but they are trying to get a lot of stuff taken care of. And as I understand it, the agreement that we've all come to, and by we, I mean our elected leaders, have come to is that we're not allowed to torture people as such, but that that George Bush is allowed to define what that means, what torture is. Is that anything approaching where we're at?
Almost. George Bush, wow, I lost my voice there. That's not a good sign. George Bush is the one who can decide our interpretation of the Geneva Conventions and who should be prosecuted under the Geneva Conventions for mistreating prisoners in our custody. That's what he gets. But separately, the House and Senate have passed legislation defining war crimes. That's in statute, so it's sort of in those big dusty law books. That's where that goes. But it does tell CIA interrogators that they can't, you know, the basics, rape, murder, those kinds of things are not allowed, but so is, and we talked about this before, that you cannot cause serious injury to anyone in your custody. That is defined in U.S. law, or it will be when the president signs this military tribunal legislation.
And so this legislation, does it also, what if you've done these things in the past? Like, what if, let me ask you this, what if, for example, there was just some, some very, very minor misunderstanding, and you spent a few weeks slamming a guy's junk in a drawer somewhere. Is that a thing that you're going to be just sort of immunized for?
There is a grandfather clause, or actually it's more the reverse, that it does say that past offenses don't count. And so they've set a time limit. I'm going to give you the wrong date. I think it's after September 11th, though, I believe, that they say this. This is retroactive, too, and not previous. I think I've got to check that date. I had that fact in my brain yesterday, but it's been some late nights here.
Well, one's brain can only hold so much. is there any sort of concern, though, that we have to, with this sort of elastic clause where the administration can sort of come up with their own definitions of what does and does not fall outside the Geneva Convention,
right,
that we're going to have soldiers that are treated... I mean, is this going to solve what they were concerned about, which is our soldiers being tortured or otherwise very harshly interrogated by other countries?
Yeah, that's the concern. I mean, there's two concerns with this. One is that other countries will say, look, we're going to do what we want. You guys can do what you want. But then others would say, well, they have that ability now. And all of this gets hashed out in international courts anyway. And if the president does something or puts out an order saying, here's my interpretation of the Geneva Conventions, and that's against what international law believes, or somehow an American gets brought up in international war crime court for offenses against the Geneva Conventions, then we're going to have an issue of international law conflicting. But that's what would happen now, technically, already.
All right. Hey, real quickly, I'd have to ask you this.
December 2005. So if you had that little mishap beating up this guy, if it was before December 2005, you're okay.
All right. Just so you know, the thing we were going to ask Dickie Giuliano about before we were abruptly shunted to the side.
Oh dear!
By the people at CNN are responsible for that. Apparently, the House Committee yesterday got a warning about electronic voting machines being tampered with. And somebody, there was a story the other day, and this was not from like the Daily Whack Job News. This was like an actual, I forget who it was, some actual news outlet though. They were claiming, I'm trying to get this straight in my head. They were claiming that most electronic voting machines, they could actually, the key that opened electronic voting machines was actually the same key, I believe, that opens a very popular and widespread type of American snack chip vending machine. And they're not necessarily as foolproof as we might be led to believe. And so it just seems, I don't know anybody that thinks about electronic voting and says, by God, I have the utmost faith. Look, I can't even get my desktop computer to run for like 3-4 hours without crashing and destroying all my data.
Right.
So I don't really understand. This seems to be a thing that we're just sort of instituting, despite the fact that no one I know thinks it's a good idea.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, I don't know about the vending machine key, but I do know that they are not foolproof by any means. They certainly are vulnerable. Many of these electronic voting machines are very vulnerable. And we know that in this election, I think something like 39% of voters are going to be using those electronic machines. You know, and it's funny, in Maryland, they had such problems with their primary that their governor, as of, I think, 2 weeks ago, who is running himself, said, I want to just switch to an all-paper system for the entire state. And this was just with 6 weeks left until the election. The election board just stared at him and said, you're crazy.
Well,
but
I don't understand what the big problem with that is. I honestly don't. I don't understand what is so difficult about doing a high school vice presidential election side where you show up and there's a bunch of names and a bunch of boxes and you check what you want and it goes in a locking container.
Well, Maryland is your state. I think they're probably not actually going to do that. But, you know, the argument against that is just how much time it would take. And then there could be fraud easily on the other end. You know, that you could have stuffing of the ballot boxes again. You could have counters that would be paid off. There'd be a lot of other potentials.
I guess my response to that, I mean, it's not to put you on the spot about it, because I know that technically this is something that Dick Giuliano was supposed to be talking to us about. But my only observation is because, man, I hear a lot of the sort of really like burned out hippie liberal nutcases talking about how I ought to have a receipt for my vote, which is one of those things when people talk about how that they want their paper, you know, they want a paper receipt whenever they vote via an electronic machine.
Oh, yes.
And their response is always, they've got this thing done. They've got like a one-line Michael Moore response to this where they always say, well, you know, if you get a receipt when you order a cheeseburger, why not when you vote? Which is one of those things that sounds really logical until you think about it for like 4 seconds. Because if you're going to have a paper receipt indicating what your vote was, you might as well just fill out a freaking paper ballot to begin with. It's the same thing. So.
Well, no, because the difference is that in one case the computer is counting, in the other case a human being is counting.
Yeah, but don't you think that in every election from now on till time immemorial there's going to be a protest? It doesn't matter. Every single election from now until the rapture is going to be contested by somebody. Yeah, there's going to be.
You know, and this one's going to be a bloody mess. This congressional election coming up, there are a lot of races that are really close, and we could have recounts all across the country. It could be. You know, presidential election 2000 times 200.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the ghost of Mayor Daley still hovers above this country, and everybody knows that. And so there's every election from now on until the end of time. Perfect. He's going to be having a final question.
Yes.
Here on the Rick Emerson Show, we are endeavoring to give names to hand gestures that do not currently have names in the American lexicon.
All right.
So if I was to do this, if I was to look at you, take my hand, and sort of wave it forward in a circle, indicating you to move a story along more quickly, what would you call that?
Diggering.
Do you know the gesture I'm talking about?
Yes.
And what would you call that if you had to describe it to somebody?
You know, jigger on out of the way. I don't know. Scooch, is that what you're trying to say? Kind of move along?
Well, not physically, but if you're telling a story that's 10 minutes long that needs to be 5, and I'm off camera and I'm trying to, like, I'm rolling my hand sort of forward hurriedly trying to get you to move the story along.
Little squelch effect? I don't know. Something like that. I don't know.
All right, squelch effect. All right, we're just taking submissions.
That's
what
I got.
We're gonna create a full omnibus of these, hopefully by the end of the month.
Fantastic.
Right. Lisa Goddard, enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you undoubtedly next week. Sister.
Absolutely.
All right.
All elections from here on out. So brace yourself.
Now, see if you just take a moment. You can. You can smell the discord coming, can't you?
You can. I mean, you're, yeah, the TVs, the papers, it's going to be ugly.
It's a great time to be an embittered American.
Yes, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. All right, there you go. That's Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, from CNN News on the Hill. How you doing?
Good.
You just kind of, you don't even look at me now during these conversations with Lisa. You just avert your eyes.
Why?
You look
what
at the
am
floor.
I supposed to do? Should I just be sitting here, like, basking in your glow?
Yes.
Staring at you as you're having a conversation that doesn't involve me?
That's exactly what you should okay. be doing. All right. You should, never mind.
And what?
Nothing. I was just going to say that I handled the Dick Iuliano thing really well.
You did. That was awkward.
You'll note that it was awkward, but I was upfront about it. I did, and you'll note that I didn't try to put it on her. I didn't even put it on Dick Iuliano.
No, you've been secretly worried that he didn't want to come on the show anymore. Right?
No, it has nothing to do with that. I do not doubt, because we used to have Dick Iuliano on, and I think he would be man enough to say that if he didn't want to come on, I think he'd just man up and say it. And not unlike Pat St. Clair, who would just sort of scurry away and then pass her messages through intermediaries to me. I think that if we ask Dick Iuliano, said, look, we want to have you on to talk about voting machines, which is a thing that really does fascinate me, and I know it doesn't fascinate a lot of people, but it's a thing I can just think, I have a lot of questions about that. I think he probably would come on. I really honestly believe it's just that Laura doesn't want to, they just don't want to find, it's like Bob Costantini. It's not even so much Laura as it is that CNN Radio, that poor Bob Costantini guy's working like $4 an hour there, and they won't even put his name and picture on the website. Like, how much would it cost to have a guy available to talk? I know that I'm in Portland here. There is actually a little city, you might have heard of it, called Los Angeles in this part of the country. You got to think that they have people who want to know what the news is. The whole thing just frustrates me.
Well, I bet we could talk to Gary about it and get a little fire under Laura's ass again.
Oh, we're going to talk to Gary Baumgarten later on today, by God.
Yes.
All right. You know what you're doing right now? Without even making the gesture, your tone of voice is the hurry up right now.
I'm excited for the news hour.
I can hear... Thank you. I can hear it in your tone of voice. A lot of like, wrap it up now! All right. Ladies and gentlemen, coming up around the corner, we got Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Here's the Oneidas. Come on.